Now, before we go any further into this scripture, the teacher in me has to clear something up because I have a hard time sometimes reading this scripture. Because when you read this scripture, it makes it sound an awful lot like this is what Christianity is all about. If I do good deeds, then I go to heaven. Do you see that in this scripture? How you could read it that way? You know, the sheep do the good stuff and help all the people and they get rewarded. And the goats do all the bad stuff and don't help the people and they don't get rewarded. You know, if you oversimplified this scripture and read it just out of context, apart from the whole faith, it'd be really easy to read kind of a Christian karma kind of thing into this scripture. But I think that misses the point of our Christian faith. Then there's the other option to say, well, since that's not true, then this is what's true. If I just believe in Jesus Christ, then I will go to heaven. And that also has a kernel of truth to it, right? When we believe in Christ, we accept God's grace, and we are saved, we are healed, we are mended, we are restored. But if you just believe that believing gets you to heaven, then you're missing out on all the action that God calls you to. And if you just stick with this right-hand chart, well, then you might as well throw out Matthew 25 and just ignore the whole scripture. So see, one of the reasons why I love being Methodist is because even though churches have debated for centuries, you know, is it faith or works, works or faith, which is more important? They've leaned one way or another. I love being Methodist because we look at this dichotomy and we say, yeah, it's not really one or the other. How about both? We stand right in the middle and we say, I think it's a lot more complicated than that. Here's the thing. We believe that before the faith, before the works, that God extends grace to everybody. Everybody. Like, even if you haven't heard of God, even if you're not looking for God, even if you want nothing to do with God, we believe that God extends grace to you, a gift of love, no strings attached. God loves you and God extends grace to you, no matter what. That's first. If you're taking a Methodist quiz later, that's prevenient grace, my friends. And then after God extends grace, then we have the opportunity to accept that gift by believing in it. And so this is where belief comes in. It is important that we believe that, you know, when we believe in God's grace, we accept that gift and we are transformed by it. And that is amazing. But it doesn't stop there. No, because when we are transformed, then we cannot help but serve. We cannot help but do good deeds. We cannot help but put our faith into action. 1 John 4 says it this way. It says, we love because God first loved us. I had a children's song on a We Sing Bible Songs tape when I was a kid that said, we serve because God first served us. And then the conclusion is not just escaping to heaven when we die. No, we believe that when we are transformed, when we serve, then that creates heaven here on earth. Yes, we do have the promise of being with God after we pass away, but the promise is more than that. It's that when we are transformed, when we serve, when we cooperate with God's action in this world, that's when we're able to create the kind of community that God wants for us. God's kingdom becoming real here on earth as we live into it. See, the Christian life isn't just about faith or works, works or faith. It's about faith that leads to works. Faith in action. This week, I've finally gotten a chance to chat with Lee about the opportunity to go on ASP this summer, and I'm really excited about it, especially after hearing these mission witnesses this morning. And as I thought about serving and about serving on ASP in particular, I thought back to my own experiences going to work camp. My church didn't go to ASP in particular, but we did a similar project with an organization called Groups, Group Work Camps. So this is a picture from when I was 16. I'm the second one from the left in that picture there. And we're crew 23, as my Facebook caption told me. standing on the porch that we built here in front of this trailer home in West Virginia. And as I thought about this experience, I remembered so much more than just the building of the porch. Sure, that week I learned how to set posts in concrete, and I learned how to interpret plans and build porches and all those good things. But that week was not just about building the porch. It was about our relationship with the resident that we were serving. I remember her. She was an older woman living on assistance. Her adult daughter would come check on her once a day, and during lunchtime when we'd have our little Bible devotion we were supposed to share, she'd invite us with pride into her small living room. And we'd sit there and she'd serve us iced tea and we'd talk about the scripture and share our hearts as you only can when you're in Christian community. See, that week, it was about a porch, but it wasn't really about a porch. It was about our own facial recognition systems. As youth, as adults, recognizing this woman and the face of Christ in her. It was about us serving Christ by serving her, by trying to create God's kingdom on earth. Which brings us back to this scripture text, this famous text about sheep and goats and the grand sorting in the kingdom of God. Now, I got to check my work here before I go any further. How many of you were raised on a farm? Am I safe? I was not raised on a farm. All right. Majority of you not raised on a farm. So please don't make fun of me when I tell you I have a hard time telling sheep and goats apart. Martha had a good laugh when we were setting up the nativity scene, and I couldn't tell the two apart. But it's true. They're both domesticated animals. They both produce milk. They both have hides that we use for various things. And in many countries, they are grouped together, just like in this picture, in the same herd even. But this text surprises us in so many ways. And the first way is that when we think, you know, sheep and goats, they hang out in the same pen, they do most of the same things. No, the surprise here is that the shepherd can very much tell them apart. And he can very much tell the difference between the sheep and the goat. The surprises don't stop there, because when the sheep and the goat come before the king, when all is said and done, and they both, I bet, are thinking, you know, I've done my best. I've done my best to take care of myself, to take care of my families, to take care of my neighbors. But in the end, they are both equally surprised to learn that none of that was the point. That the whole point was really caring for Christ by caring for Christ's family, those who were the most poor and desperate in our great big world. And then, if we think that we'll be congratulated in the end of it all for making it out alive, well, we are in for the biggest surprise of all, because Jesus himself, the best servant of us all, doesn't make it out alive. Just in the next chapter of Matthew, Jesus turns toward the cross in order to die in service to all of those who are beloved children of God. See, his whole life, Jesus dropped hint after hint about what it really means to be great in the kingdom of God. He kept saying those troubling things like, you know, the last will be first and the first will be last, or let the children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And it was easy to not really take those things to heart until we get to this paralyzing parable that stops us in our tracks, and the sacrificial death of the servant that shows us that Jesus was deadly serious about serving and sacrifice. See, serving is at the heart of it all. That's one of the things I love most about our new mission statement, that serving is right there in the middle. Love, serve, follow, walking in the way of Jesus. Because it's loving God that leads us to serving our neighbors. And when we serve our neighbors, suddenly we turn around and find that we've been following Jesus with all we've got. Because walking in the way of Jesus, It's more than just praying to God and worshiping God in love. It's more than studying the Bible and learning about the faith. Walking in the way of Jesus means walking in Jesus' footprints, doing what Jesus did, serving the way Jesus served. That's the mark of a true disciple. So, what are we to do? What are we to do with all of this? Well, let me suggest this. Let's try and flip the script on what it means to serve. Let's stop serving in an effort to take Christ to people and start serving in an effort to see Christ in the eyes of the stranger. Let's surprise the world by making our faith less and less about us and more about Jesus. Let's serve with all that we've got. Someone once said, everyone wants to change the world, but nobody wants to do the dishes, which I totally get. But Christ wasn't above small acts of service, and so we won't be either. Let's serve with the kind of patience and persistence that will wash every dish in the house if that is what is needed. Let's start by being rooted and grounded in love, and then let's serve because that's the only way that we know how to live out our faith. Friends, we've been transformed by God's grace, and we cannot help but put that faith into action. So may you go from this place, seeing Christ in every face, longing to serve, and longing to create heaven here on earth. Let's pray. God, we pray each week, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we long for the day when there is no more hunger or thirst, no more need for prisons, no more strangers. We long for heaven where all are welcome and all are provided for and all are cherished. We long for your kingdom to come, and yet we confess that we cannot bring it about without your mighty hand. God, too often we confess that we puff ourselves up with pride, thinking that we are bringing you to the last and the lost and the least. But you have always chosen to be last, and you have always sought out the lost, and you have always sided with the least. So forgive us for our lack of facial recognition. And start with us here, today, in this place. God, wrap us in your grace so that we might be transformed. Transform us with your love so that we cannot help but serve. And give us persistence and your mighty spirit as we seek to serve the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner. Give us eyes to see you in surprising places and courage to serve where you call so that your kingdom may come and your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, who we long to see face to face.